So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host. And as we do every time before a call, let's just take a moment to connect and bring ourselves here right now and just get rid of all the distractions, find yourself a good spot so that you can really dive in deeply and fully participate and engage the content in this call. So just take a nice deep breath. If you've been sitting all day, just stand for a moment. Just soften your knees. Take a nice deep breath. And exhale and relax. And just feel yourself soaking and sinking into this moment and knowing that the expertise that Shannon has is here and available, and you're going to get loads of information on this call. You're going to get lots of tips that you'll be able to walk away and implement today and start getting into motion around your business, this whole idea that you can actually have an unprecedented level of support for your events and your projects and your programs through sponsorship. So just open to that, open to the possibility that you're going to learn all kinds of things today and that you're going to be ready to implement them, because that's what's going to really put your conscious business on the map. So thank you, everyone, for being here. And I am really excited. I first met Shannon through participating in a launch that she was doing for a colleague of mine. And I was really impressed with the level at which she engaged the folks who were participating in the promotion for my buddy's new blog, TooMuchOnHerPlate.com.
We'll be talking a little bit about that today, too. So.
Yeah, great. And Shannon really impressed me with how she really got all the materials together, got us all on board, and she just really ran it like, you know, like this promotion, she ran it like a tight ship, and yet it felt really, really good, and the content was great, the material was great that we were given to help promote Too Much on Her Plate. And then I met her at a conference. The NAMS conference, and I knew I wanted to meet her in person because I'd met her online, and so I went up to her and I said hi, and right away I knew I wanted to grab her for my Conscious Business Telesummit because she really knows her stuff. So just a little bit about Shannon for those folks that are new to Shannon Sherry. She's the founder of Be Heard Solutions, and for more than 18 years she's helped coaches, consultants, and businesses just like yours attract more clients, make more profits using free public relations and marketing tools. She's a former TV anchor and journalist and one of the top media experts and publicists in the world. She's gotten several entrepreneurs and small business owners on Oprah, which is no small feat. Shannon is the power publicist, yeehaw for sure, and she helps business owners and entrepreneurs attract more customers through publicity and marketing. She publishes the popular and highly recommended e-zine, Be Heard, which is delivered to more than 8,000 subscribers each month. Shannon, I'm really excited to have you here with us today. Thank you.
Well, I am so glad to be here, too, because, I mean, when we talked at NAMS, I had no clue what I was talking about. And then when you said, you know, you said you're going to do this, let's do something, you know, and I said, you know, I want to do something different. And you said, you know, people really have a need for getting sponsorships. And this is a topic I've never actually publicly shared before. I've only shared it one-on-one with a couple of people to help them with their events. What Adela's pointed out to everybody is most people know me as the power publicist, that redheaded woman who goes out and gets people on Oprah. Yeah, that's me, but but as part of my publicity work for corporations and nonprofits, I've also had to go out and seek sponsorships to underwrite the cost of certain things, like live events and virtual events, such as telesummits like this one, as well as teleclasses and other things, and even classes, as well as other promotional deals. So, after all, my job really is public relations, so it makes sense that if I can build relationships with the media, I can surely build relationships with other companies. So I was quite successful in inking a lot of sponsorship deals for $2,500, $5,000, even $10,000. Now, many of you may also know me from what Adela was talking about, my list-building holiday stuff. And I had my own called Be Heard, National Be Heard Day, where I got a group of marketers together to give away business-building products for people like you to actually get out there and be heard. Now, Actually, I think I'm sure many of you discovered me from this list-building effort that's been going on for about 5 years now. A couple of years back, when I was doing this Be Heard holiday, I realized something. This holiday, this National Be Heard Day that I created and was promoting and actually building my list with, getting 1,000, 2,000, sometimes 3,000 people in a couple of weeks onto my list, which I'm sure all of you'd like to do too, this was reaching out to more than 5 million people with the combination of the JV partners I used, the media exposure I was getting, and even every year I get published in this international resource of holidays. So it's a thing that not only journalists use, but other people use. I mean, heck, but at one point this holiday, last year I discovered the holiday was so popular that some entrepreneurial spirit went out there and created a Be Heard card. And was selling it to send it, help all their businesses be heard. They were selling this card. It was really kind of cute. I didn't make any money on it, but it was still a great idea. I should have thought about that. Anyway, what I realized is that a lot of companies would be interested in the kind of exposure I was getting with Be Heard Day. So I did a little homework and approached a company a couple of years ago about underwriting some of the costs for this list-building holiday, which is an event. And they jumped at the chance of sponsoring it, and within 3 days, I had a check in my hand for $3,000.
That's nice.
Yeah. Now, the next Be Heard holiday, which is in March 2011, I've already secured four now sponsors who are giving me more than $8,000 in cash and in-kind gifts. That means these companies are paying me to build my list.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Extremely cool.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing this as a way to build my list, but now I'm doing it as a way to make money as well because sponsors are interested in it. So, which reminds me, I should explain the different types of sponsorships from your perspective as well as the sponsor's perspective so we can move on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's start with you as the person who wants the sponsorship first. There are really three kinds of sponsorships. That you as someone who wants money or something can go after. First is an event. That's something that you create and you hold and you promote, and these events can be live or virtual. Now, like the Be Heard holiday event is a virtual event technically. This Telesummit is a virtual event as well, but you can also, I've used the sponsorship strategies I'm going to tell you a little bit about today to do this for some of my clients for live events. As a matter of fact, one person is having their live event next month, and that's why I said I was going to Anaheim next month, if you were on the call a little earlier before we started, for this live event, and she's secured more than $15,000 worth of sponsorship stuff. So, I mean, pretty good. So that's the first way. The second way is if you're going to, and a lot of people do this, say you're going to attend an event that you want to go to. Say, you know, Adela went to NAMS. I went to NAMS. You can actually get sponsors to pay your way to attend other people's events. Now, bloggers and speakers do this all the time, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
One of my good friends who I taught this method to, Felicia Slattery, some of you may know her, she actually got a sponsor to pay for her way to an event she was actually being paid to speak at.
Oh, that is so cool.
So she has used this. I mean, it wasn't a ton of money, but it paid for, you know, she had to pay her own way there, but it paid her own way there, and she made a promise to the sponsor of what she would do, and, of course, she fulfilled that promise, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But can you imagine going out and speaking or just going to attend an event or a conference that you want to go to and have somebody else paying for your ticket to be there? That's pretty nice. And then you go and have a good time and do whatever you want and just remember what you've promised your sponsor. The other thing you can do for the sponsorship is to underwrite, and this is key, a continual marketing program. A lot of people say, well, I have this – you know, I have a product or service that I want underwritten? Well, that's a little harder unless you're going to promise this promise sponsors that you're going to be continually marketing it. A better way to sponsor something, get a sponsorship like that, is to do whatever you do on a continual basis for your marketing anyway. Like your e-zine,
mm-hmm.
if you do an e-zine or something like that, that's a great way to get a sponsor for that, because you know they're going to get value of that. Just like a product is a little more difficult, but we'll get into some nuances of that in a few minutes. But what I want to talk about right now is the two ways companies, the people you are reaching out to get money from, look at sponsorships. One is cash, right? Cash is king.
Mm-hmm.
They say content is king, but cash is king too. Basically, this company will cut you a check for a specific amount to do whatever you promise them that you will do when they are a sponsor. The other part that most people don't think about, and I want you to really think about this one more than just getting cash, is in-kind sponsorships. This means that the company is going to give you a product or service in return for what you promised them as a sponsor. Now, this is great for events. Because especially, you know, even a live event, and I'm going to give you some examples as we move on. Now, I've had a lot of success with both, and oftentimes it's those in-kind sponsorships that can be even more of a help than just having the cash on hand. For example, I've had success in in-kind sponsorships with a company that provides webinar services. So basically, I got their service for an entire year to use unlimited webinar services and promoted them as a sponsor of all the things I did on these webinars based on our sponsorship agreement,
mm-hmm.
which was great because people were seeing this, you know, the people who were on these webinars were actually seeing this webinar software in action. So they
mm-hmm.
knew it worked. It was an easy sell, and it was easy to do. I've also done this for printing services, for food, for events. I do it for house cleaning.
Oh.
And media. Everyone's like, ooh, house cleaning, that's nice. And media coverage. Yes, the media sponsors things too, but always does it in kind. They're never going to give you cash. But remember, if you get a media sponsor to sponsor your event, especially if it's a local event, or they're gonna promote the heck out of it for
mm-hmm.
you because that's what they do. So.
Right.
Think about in-kind as well as just the monetary thing. I'm going to take a pause right now and check if we have any questions about these.
Yeah. Well, let me see if we've got any questions. Oh, okay. Well, Tanya put in a question. I don't know if we're ready for that yet. How can one obtain a sponsor to underwrite a cruise and airfare for those who want to go but can't afford it?
Okay, we'll hold on to that because I'm going to give you some tips about that in a little bit. We're just starting at the beginning, so hold that thought. Any other questions about?
Well, I do have a question. What are the kinds of things that you promise in exchange for the sponsorship?
Ah, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit too. Your guys are all jumping the gun.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll talk about that too.
All right. Well, we'll follow your lead then. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Now, if I can get all these things, believe me, I'm very confident. I'm scared to death about asking for money, just like many of you are asking for things, because who wants the rejection? I'm the same way. But if I can do it, you can do it. And I'm going to show you how to do that. So I know a lot of you are like, oh, this isn't going to work. This, you know, yeah, you got $8,000, Shannon, but how, you know, I'm not going to, I don't even know anybody with $8,000. You actually do. But so let's stop your doubt and break through the myths that you may be hearing about getting sponsorships first and foremost before we go on to answer some of these questions that you have. Myth number one, companies aren't giving sponsorships and sponsorship money and in-kind stuff because of the economy. I've heard this so much over the past year, and it's just not so. As a matter of fact, there was a recent study by one of the major corporations who does studies like this, and I can't remember which one off the top of my head, but in 2009, it showed that 57% of businesses with 100 employees or more were actually increasing their sponsorship giving despite lower profits. They're giving more. 57% are giving more. Now, why is that? Well, first of all, doing sponsorships is really good publicity, and we're going to talk a lot about publicity today. That's why I can talk about sponsorships, because it really is what they're looking for. They're looking for publicity. And this is so much cheaper than advertising. You know, you pay a certain amount of money, and you know what you're going to get. You don't have to repeat the ad over and over again and test and see if it has results. You know what you're getting. Plus, many times, and actually almost all the time, the person who getting the company getting the sponsor, the person who's getting the sponsorship, as in you, the business person seeking the sponsorship, does all the work in the promotion, and that's a key right there. Let's write that little note down. You're going to have to do all the work. Don't expect someone just to hand you over money and then, you know, smile at you and expect nothing in return. They're going to want you to hustle. So it actually saves the company a lot of time from doing their own promotion. Okay, myth number two. You need to hire a graphic designer to pretty up your proposal and your websites and everything else to make it stand out. Fancy schmancy is what I say. You know, I hear this all the time about press releases too, Adela, and it makes me laugh because whether you're targeting a media or a corporation for a sponsorship, you need to remember that it's not about a beauty contest.
Mm-hmm.
It's about making a real win-win situation for you and that company. So they don't care if you have, you know, pretty photos and a slick cover and all of that on your proposal, or that, you know, when I was, same with press release, but, or, you know, that you use scented stationery. They don't want any of that. What they want is the meat. What's in it for me? So keep that in mind. Myth number three, sponsors really want their logo splashed everywhere. Everyone assumes sponsorship means, you know, logo visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And do you really think some of the bigger brands like Nike, Pepsi, and Walmart need logo recognition? Really? Really? The key to a good sponsorship is to add value. Now, this is just like writing a sales letter. You know, if you're writing a sales letter for your website or, you know, some kind of, you kind of fill it with a ton of bonuses. So you need to think of those kind of value-added items that make the deal irresistible. Yeah, it's nice to have signage at an event. It's nice to have signage, you know, on an email, you know, meaning their logo on an email from you. It's nice to mention it. But what, you know, big deal. Think about what the sponsor wants. Think about what that sponsor really wants. What would you want, Adela? If I said to you, Adela, I have this great opportunity. I really want your involvement. Can you give me $1,000? What would you tell me? What would you want? Do you want your logo somewhere or your picture somewhere?
No. That seems pretty shallow, actually.
Yeah.
And not substantive enough. And I would think that it's an association with a quality event would be something more appealing to me.
Exactly. But a lot of people make that mistake that, well, if I just promise them I'll splash their logo everywhere, that's going to get me the money.
Mm-hmm.
It won't. I mean, come on, marketers are much more savvy than that, and people are. I mean, how many times do we see the Nike logo a day? Really? I mean, we see it on people's shoes. We see it on TV, we see it in ads, we see it everywhere. I mean, it's just what it is. So we're so used to it, they don't care about their logo being out there. Why do you think Nike dropped Tiger Woods? It wasn't because he wasn't wearing the logo.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move to myth number four so we don't get ourselves into any
trouble
here. Okay. You will get a sponsorship simply because you're a good cause or have a great idea. Ideas and causes are a dime a dozen. I mean, like Adela said, I come up with an idea every 5 seconds. Oh my gosh, they are a dime a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a dime three dozen, really. The bottom line is that a sponsorship is a business transaction. This is about business. Show the company why the sponsorship will be valuable to them, not just something to make them feel good. I mean, sure, it feels great to be involved with a great event, but you know what? There's a little bit more to it than that, because I feel great when, you know, my girls are happy. That doesn't, you know, it doesn't, it does, that just doesn't make my business run any smoother when they're
mm-hmm.
happy, you know? So think of it that way. Now, myth number five, the final myth. By creating a large hit list of sponsors and sending each one the same proposal will get the best return. Well, that is called something in this day and age. It's called spamming. She's laughing at me. Corporate sponsorships are based on relationships and understanding what the company needs to see it has a good return on their investment. Pick a few ideal prospects that match your target market. So whatever they're doing matches your target market, and then find out exactly what will make them say yes before you create the proposal. Okay, so we've gone through the five myths. Kind of set you up for the next segment here, obviously. But are there any questions about what we've talked about so far?
Let me check. Folks, submit your questions. This is highly interactive. It'll be much more valuable if the things that are popping up in your head, if you put
just
them out.
Just type them. If I already answered it, I can always answer it a different way or
yeah.
give you another idea.
Well, so far we have no questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad now you understand the myths, and hopefully you got some tips through those myths to figure out what you shouldn't be doing, what you should be doing. So now that we've broken these down, let's get to that all-important real question. How do I find sponsors? Right? That's what we're
mm-hmm.
all here for. Now, every year, corporations spend millions and millions of dollars. I mean, McDonald's alone spends $3 million on sponsorship marketing and event sponsorship. And that's McDonald's corporate. I'm not talking about each franchise, because each franchise does their own as well. I mean, I'm just using McDonald's as an example here. So there are millions of dollars out there for sponsorships. Unfortunately, many don't have a clue of how to approach a potential sponsor, prepare the information needed, and persuade a sponsor to join them in a mutually beneficial project. Do you see I keep saying that?
Mm-hmm.
Mutually
yeah.
beneficial?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very important there. Now, I've alluded to this before, but it's good to remind you that businesses like yours who become good corporate sponsor partners realize that sponsorship is a business deal, not a donation or a handout. This is about business. Basically, a sponsorship, let's break it down in a little bit of the internet marketing terms here that some of us might be familiar with. It's a joint venture partnership. That's what it is. That's what you're creating, a win-win joint venture relationship with another company. You have to look at it from your business standpoint and their business standpoint. So you need to realize that sponsorships won't work if you're just saying, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, like one of my 4-year-old daughters.
mm-hmm.
And actually, one of the sponsorships that I was very active in and where I really honed my sponsorship skills in was I did sponsorships for an international wine auction. It was huge. It was the largest wine auction in New York State for 5 years. And we would get $10,000, $20,000 sponsorships. Well, one of the things we did was we went out as teams and got these sponsors, because this was a big deal. It isn't like these little sponsorships that you guys are probably getting. This was a multi-million-dollar wine auction. I mean, it'd be nice if we can all do that, and then that is when you hire a team to do this. We would go out to get sponsorships, and one of are repeat sponsors. We went to visit them, and we had a new person on board to do the sponsorship solicitation with us. And we went there, and that person literally said, "Hi, we're here for the wine auction. It's that time of year, so gimme, gimme, gimme." That is what they said.
Yes.
It hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt. But I know that's a very extreme example, but that's what often it looks like when you say, "This is a great event, please sponsor it." I mean, it's the same thing. You might as well just say, "Gimme, gimme, gimme," because
mm-hmm.
that's what you're doing. So keep that in mind. So always remember, "Gimme, gimme, gimme" isn't going to work. It doesn't even work with my four-year-old, so don't try it with a business owner. Okay, you need to find sponsors who will make a good alliance, because the sponsorship will provide something of value for both you and that company. You also need to know that you need to be offering a good marketing investment to the corporate sponsor. Sponsors want to exploit the commercial opportunities associated with your event or with whatever what event you're attending or whatever you're doing. They're looking for the marketing behind this. There's a little hint there, guys. It's as simple as that, but perhaps it's the hardest thing to grasp. But it's why my national Be Heard holiday has garnered so much sponsorship interest. I showed them why joining my list building campaign is a good value for their marketing dollar. They get media coverage from the Associated Press as well as several other business-related media outlets. They get increased exposure through the emails my joint venture partners send out, promotions on social media, and much more. Plus, companies also get mentioned in proclamations by several government entities, including the New York State governor. So I help them connect with government officials as well, which many businesses want to do. Excuse me. So basically, I've made this kind of like, if I offered you all that, you'd be like, "No, duh, of course I'm going to do that." By showing them what they're getting from it, not what's in it for me, what's in it for them. Now, you may have noticed that I said that these sponsorships come out of marketing budgets because they're marketing dollars, which means that when you approach any sponsor, you'll want to approach the marketing department first because they have the money. So let's take a step back now that you know that, and how do we find these companies? You're going to laugh because it's really easy to find a corporate sponsor if you do your homework. Basically, reach out to who you're already doing business with that you feel is a match for your idea and your target market. If you're already doing business with them, you already have a relationship with them, and it's harder for them to say no to you, like your bank, like your accounting service, like your virtual assistant or a virtual assistant association, like those kind of things. Now, sure, I could approach Gap Kids to be a sponsor for National Be Heard Day because I buy a lot of clothes there for my twin daughters. Yeah, a little too much clothes. And I should get some money back from them, I think. But is it really a good match for the holiday that helps small business owners? Not real.
No,
not at all. So before you approach anyone, make sure it's a good fit. As a matter of fact, before you approach anyone, ask yourself these questions. First, do you have an established marketing effort in place so that you can keep in touch with your constituents through email, a website, events, newsletters, conferences, press releases, television, radio, advertising, whatever you do? Do you know about your own company's demographics? Who's participating at your events and why? Where do they live? How far do they drive if it's local? What do they normally buy? These are things that you really should already know about your business. But if you don't, you better be very clear on it so you can make sure that your demographic matches their demographic, because Gap Kids, although they're very happy to take my money, they probably wouldn't give me money to promote anything for small businesses because that's not what their market is. Have you worked with other corporate sponsors before? This actually makes a difference. And I know if you're just starting out, it's hard to do. But once you do, start getting testimonials from corporate sponsors you already have. Feature them in your marketing materials when you're going out and getting sponsors. Also, check what the competitive environment is like. Are other businesses similar to yours getting corporate sponsorships? Now, if they're not, that doesn't mean you can't. Absolutely. That means you're going to be blazing a new trail. But that means everybody behind you is going to start opening up to this one company that they've seen you get. Asking for money, and eventually they'll A, be tapped out, or be angry. So just keep that in mind, because you're going to have to nurture that relationship a little bit more. To gauge the effort involved in reaching corporate sponsors and meeting face-to-face, you need to create this list of companies you already do business with. What do they produce, and who do they sell to? Are there cross-promotions you can work up that will help them sell to one of your existing sponsors or team up with another person? For example, one of the highlights that a lot of my company sponsors for a National Be Heard Day like is they like that the governor is naming them in a proclamation. They think that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, they think that's cool. And it's important sometimes to their business for lobbying efforts and other things. So they think that's really important. So I really highlight that, but I do my homework and find out first. The other thing is, are you willing to negotiate? Because just because what you offer somebody may not be what they want, are you willing to accept that and negotiate that offer a little bit more? A lot of people feel uncomfortable with this, but this is about building a relationship and building a marketing plan for this sponsor that works for them. Just because you send out an email once a month doesn't mean that's enough for that sponsor. So you need to figure that out and what works for you and what you're willing to give up and what you're not. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. We've actually got a question from Ruth
Sure.
Ellen in Jacksonville. She says,
mm-hmm.
Does the size of the business mean that the relationship has to be longer? For example, a larger business means a longer relationship?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. I've actually had businesses switch banks when their local bank had refused to give them a sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
And switched banks, got another bank, which was a much bigger bank, and within 3 months they had the money. So
wow.
It doesn't matter how large the company is, or it matters if, and by the way, it's okay to switch companies. If you're doing business with a company, you approach them for a sponsorship, and you think you can get that sponsorship from another area, a competitor, say goodbye to them. Because
mm-hmm.
they really are only into it for them, and they're not into building relationships, which is really about really what marketing and conscious marketing is all about.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
I had a question around when you say do your homework around approaching these sponsors, and you're talking about contacting their marketing department. How do I do that? Yeah, how do you do that?
I'm glad you asked that, because that's my next part.
Oh, well, you've already been answering all the questions that I wrote down, so.
Well, we do try. Any other questions before I answer Adela's question?
Let me see if there's anything else. No, that's it for now.
All right. Okay. Well, Adela and everybody, you actually need a formal proposal. But before you do that, here's my secret. The secret to making this work and making people doing your homework. You ready?
Yes.
It's really hard. It's really hard. You pick up the phone and call the company and ask.
Wow.
Did you get it?
Yeah. The setup. Thank you.
I know it's here's what I do. If I see that there might be a potential sponsorship relationship for me or one of my clients, I pick up the phone, call, try to get in touch with the marketing department if they have one. If not, get in touch with the business owner and ask them, A, if they do sponsorships. Now, if they say no, that doesn't mean no. That means they haven't done one before.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. And say, okay, well, can I ask you a few more questions? If they say yes, great, then you can move on. I ask them what they look for in a sponsorship. I ask them what their worst sponsorship request they got ever was and why. I also ask them when typically there is a good time to send out a sponsorship proposal to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me go back to that in a minute, but I want to make my point here. Besides giving me some great fodder to put into my sponsorship proposal, because I'm targeting it right to them, because my proposal is going to be custom made for them, I'm actually starting the building blocks of building this relationship.
Yeah.
They get to know me. They get to understand who I am. And this makes a huge difference when the proposal lands in their mailbox. And, yes, I snail mail all my proposals. No emailing proposals, period. You got that? So when I send out the proposal, they get a nice little note from me, a little handwritten note from me just saying, hey, it was great talking to you. Remember we talked about A, B, and C? Well, here it is. It just continues that relationship.
Oh, my God. That is so brilliant.
It's, really?
You created the connection. You know, you created the connection. You called them up. You had a conversation. So now they know who you are. They've got a feel for you. There's a connection. And then you follow it up with a personal note and the proposal.
Well, just notice that I didn't say I asked them for the money, Adela.
Yeah, no.
Because that's important because it's the relationship that gets the yes. So if I went there and said, do you do sponsorships? Well, if they say yes or no and then I give them a pitch, that's never going to – that's no relationship. That's me going, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let me get back to one of my ideas here. I typically ask them what's a good time to send a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
This is important because if you're going to start going to bigger companies, not just, not with 100 employees or more,
mm-hmm.
they actually have time when they have more dollars and times when they don't have more marketing dollars for sponsorships. So your key by asking them when is a good time to send a sponsorship proposal will tell you when they have the most money to give.
Right.
Because the last thing you want to do is send them a sponsorship, and this is going to kind of go with the cruise thing. I'm going to
Tanya.
Tanya, with your cruise, you've probably running out of time for that kind of thing, because if you cruises have to be booked in advance and things like that, that you going and asking for money now, you may be running out of time because a lot of there are two kinds of businesses that use two different kinds of accounting. One ends in June. Their accounting ends in June, and the new fiscal year begins in July. This actually is government, too, uses July to June fiscal years. The other is January to December. So either way, you're ending a cycle, and you need that money now to pay for those rooms on the cruise, or B, it's mid-year, pretty much. It's already May. Right? When you're hearing this, when we're recording this, it's already May. It's almost mid-year. A lot of their marketing dollars are already allocated. So you need, whether they're spent or not is a different thing, but they're already probably promised one way or another. So the key there is to know when to ask for the money, because if you ask them when they have no money or when the money's already allocated, even if they love what you're doing, they're not going to be able to give you anything. So ask that one important question. When's a good time to send the proposal? Okay, are there any questions on this?
Nope, not yet. We're good.
Okay, good. Okay,
I just had another idea, Shannon, in terms of Tanya. I wondered, in a situation like that, when you look for sponsorships, it's not only companies that you can go for sponsorships. I mean, can't you approach, like, small local organizations, like, I don't know, maybe like a church group or?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's not just companies. You can do it with organizations, associations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this cruise is about, Tanya. Maybe it's a marketing cruise. Contact your local American Marketing Association. They may have extra money.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, a professional organization. If it's for realtors, you know, your local board of realtors or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a state board of realtors. That can work, too. The only thing all of these are organizations, though, and church groups, they even have marketing budgets.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have, it's not just like, you know, it's not just like they're, and they know how much they can spend on different things. So you have to tap them again at the right time.
Great, thank you. There's actually a question here from Rafael in Texas. Does the best time for the proposal vary by industry?
It doesn't just vary by industry. It varies by company.
Mm.
That's why it's so important to pick up that phone and ask. If I gave you a generic today of what, you know, industry does this or that, I mean, typically government associations, professional associations, those things use a fiscal year that's, you know, July to June. But that isn't everybody.
Yeah.
And companies tend to do January to December. But everybody has different methods of their accounting and where money's spent. Some have money released every quarter. Some have it only half a year, and some say, here's your budget for the year, and, you know, once it's spent, it's spent. So you really have to think about who you're asking, why you're asking, when you're asking, to make sure that's a match. And also, here's another one that happens, another mistake that happens. I've seen people go to a small business owner or a small organization and ask them for $10,000. $10,000 may be be all they have.
Yeah.
I mean, think about who you're asking. It may be better off to get $500 sponsors for $2,500 than one sponsor for $2,500. Might be easier. So also think of it that way as well as a strategy.
Yeah. Tanya had added that it's a women's empowerment and sacred masculine cruise. So maybe organizations that's their market might be the ones that she would approach. But either way, it seems that the sponsorships is something that, you know, requires a good amount of planning.
You do have to plan.
That
is something, you know, because you want to make a proposal. First of all, you want to have enough time. If this money is underwriting the cost for something, by the way, I would never, ever tell a sponsor that their money is underwriting the cost of something.
Yeah.
Because that is not what they're in it for. They don't care they know that your money's going somewhere. But the thing is, the money, they want to know what they're getting for their money. They don't care where it goes. You know, as long as it's not illegal. But, you know, Tanya, I'm going to tell you right now, my first thought when you told me you were trying to get sponsors for this cruise was, and get them to pay for some rooms, was what company is going to pay for a room for anybody else but themselves? And I know that sounds blunt, but that's the reality. Think about it from their point of view. They are not going to be interested in buying somebody else a cruise ticket.
Yeah, so it's got to be some other value for them. There's got to be another value associated for them. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I see where Tanya's coming from. She's looking to fund, and I don't know if that a nonprofit. I know that nonprofits now have a really tough time. Ever since the shift in economy, they've had a really rough time.
Well, it depends on the nonprofit.
Some
of them are doing quite well. Some nonprofits are doing, overall doing quite well.
Uh-huh.
So it really depends on the nonprofit. Again, this is where doing that homework and calling and finding out would, you know, I definitely think that if this is a spiritual kind of cruise certain undertones of certain religious things, you probably could get a couple of sponsors from a church or something. It just depends.
Yeah.
I mean, you really have to know your target market and know their target market.
Yeah. We've actually got a couple more questions.
Great.
From Jan Wallen in New York, when is the best time to start talking with a company about sponsorship? For example, if you find their fiscal year starts in January, when shall I contact them to be more likely that their sponsorship money will not be allocated?
October.
Oh, okay.
October. If their fiscal year starts in January,
uh-huh.
When are they starting to plan to use that money?
Yeah, the quarter before, I would think, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, good. Thank you. That's a good tip.
Mm-hmm.
And Gina Diane in Vancouver, regarding knowing when to ask, in my former life in a government-funded healthcare organization, we often had money we wanted to spend about 6 weeks before the end of fiscal. Does this occur in business?
Not as much. That's called profit. And what they do, that's a profit. If they've saved money, that's called a profit. I mean, they may want to spend it down, but chances are probably not.
Probably not, yeah, great.
I mean, because it takes, you also have to think about if you've ever worked for any company or a nonprofit organization, how long does it take to get, like, something paid for?
Forever.
You got to put in your purchase order, and then you got to do this, and then you got to do that. You know, it goes on, and it takes weeks. So by the time that check is finally cut, the 6 weeks could be over with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great. We're good. No more questions for now.
Okay. So let's wrap things up here with a few mistakes that the most common mistakes I see people make when trying to secure sponsorship dollars or in-kind products or services. I'm going to reveal the top four. Now, some of these you've already heard, and they're very obvious, but, you know, they're still happening, so it's good to hit home with these to wrap things up. The first mistake is proposal saturation. Now, what do I mean by this? When someone sends a proposal to any and every company, that's a big no-no. You should only send your proposal to companies that complement your event or your project, and their industry competitors. Sending your proposal everywhere and anywhere is a waste of your time and effort, and companies will know. They will find out because word of mouth travels very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're spamming a whole bunch of people, it's the same with press releases. I advocate the same thing with press releases. Just sending out to everybody on your media list does not mean that's a good thing. That's called spamming. So that's, like, critical. So let's go on to mistake number two, a lack of research. And researching will save you time in the long run. I know we all hate doing it. I know very few people who want to do research for a living, or marketing for a living for that matter, but research. Without researching, you're wasting your time. Because you're sending proposals to companies that are maxed out on budget-wise or not interested or, frankly, don't like you for whatever reason. They don't affiliate with you, even though the target market may be a match. Believe me, there are people, because I'm a little brazen and I'm a little outspoken, that feel that I need to be a little bit more demure and will punish me by not giving me sponsorship money. That's okay. But I've done my research to make sure so I don't bug them and annoy them even more. Now, if you do your research, you would have saved yourself hours and hours of waste of time following up. So stop frustrating yourself. Save yourself some time, and time is money. And this idea is to work smarter, not harder. Now, just by avoiding these first two mistakes, you're already way ahead of probably 80% of the people out there going to get sponsorships. But let's move on. Mistake number three, a lack of persistence. And this is with everything you do with marketing, by the way, no matter if you're doing sponsorships, which is a marketing thing, public relations, a marketing thing, advertising, whatever you do, persistence is the key to getting massive sponsorships and massive results. You can't just send the proposal and wait for someone to call you back. You have to follow up once the proposal is sent with emails and phone calls. Because remember, the person who's the squeaky wheel really does get the grease. Never expect a company to call you back or reply to your email, because most times they're not going to, because they have several other proposals they can look at, and the person who picks up the phone and builds that relationship is the one they're going to pick. Stick with it and keep trying. And if someone says no, move on to another company. Oh, and that reminds me of another little thing here, a little tip here. If you're going to reach out to a sponsor, someone who's in your target market, don't go out right out and also ask their competition. Most sponsors like to be the only person in their niche. Keep that in mind. And here's mistake number four, and this is probably the biggest one of all. Not providing something of real value for the company. Now, a lot of people will take the information I shared today and look at their schedule and say, hey, I've got this telesummit coming up, I'm going to create this live event, and I'm going out to an event soon, I'm going to this conference in Anaheim to see Shannon, and I'm going to get someone to pay for it for me, and I won't have to worry about it. Not only is this the wrong attitude, because you're being greedy, but frankly, there are thousands of people asking for sponsorships for the same thing. I mean, I'm not sure how many people are on this call, but if everyone on this call, even if 15 people on this call went out and did this today, there were 50, you have 14 more competitors plus me, because you know I'm doing it, who are now your competition, asking for money, asking for in-kind things. So sure, you can create value from those things, you know, from whatever you're doing, but what really gets a company's heart beating fast is an event that's original. Now, I've tried all sorts of ways to get sponsorships, so I know this works. And that's why my list-building holiday promotion is a surefire winner for most companies. It gets media attention as well as online attention. Plus, it's a holiday, and everyone likes to celebrate holidays because it's fun. What company doesn't want to say, I'm the official sponsor of Thanksgiving, like Macy's? Hello? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. They love this. So now I'm working on a class that I'll be teaching in early fall, and I mean really early fall, on exactly what to do to get sponsors. And frankly, it's not ready yet. And that's because I'm working on getting a sponsor who I want them to say a big yes, because this sponsor is going to give us some in-kind stuff that is actually going to help people research the companies they want to target more effectively. So it'll help everyone get better results for that program. But without a good event, you're not going to be anywhere. So to prepare for that sponsorship class I'm offering, I'm going to give you guys a way to build your own event, and that is my 12-week list building holiday e-lessons that you'll be able to partake in to create your own holiday. Now, this is the first time I've offered this program to anyone, so you are going to be the first to take advantage of the step-by-step program. Now, Adela's already attested to the fact that I've done this list-building holiday system for others, and you know, the person who she was talking about got up 1,000 people on her list in a day. 1,000 new people on her list of the day. Now, think about that for a minute for your sponsorship sake. You got 1,000 new people. That's 1,000 new people are going to know about your sponsor as well. Now, these folks paid me more than $5,000 to create and implement this holiday system for them. But I've broken it down into 12 weekly e-lessons with a simple assignment to do each week so you won't be overwhelmed and you won't have to start it and then put it away because you got busy and stop it. One quick lesson, one little assignment, and it's done for the week. And because you're the first to get it, I'm going to be offering it at a low rate of $37 per month for 3 months.
I couldn't believe that when I saw it.
Yeah, it's the first time. I love that. But there's a few more bonuses I really want to point out, Adela, because the $37 a month, I know it's cheap, and I will be raising the price on this because you guys are the first. I want to make sure it's valuable to you. And I'm frankly, this is the first time I've delivered a program like this in this format, so I'm going to be asking for feedback from people. That's why it's going to be so low. But not only are you going to get the system for $37 a month for 3 months, but the templates to write the press releases, the email promotions, the government proclamations, which I told you that everybody loves. each month there's also a group coaching call so I can support you. But the best bonus of all, I think, for you guys, if you're going to really go out and get sponsorships, is the media list. you're going to get a media list of the top business reporters in the United States, which not only you can use for your own holiday list building promotion, but for any other press releases you want. And that means when you reach out for sponsorships, what company wouldn't want to know or be involved with someone who has a strong media list like that? I mean, that's a huge key for a lot of the sponsorships I get, is they want to know what media we're reaching out to, and you're going to have a list to tell them about. Now, I'm going to be adding one more bonus, which is not advertised because I don't want people to know about it. I only want people on this call to know it. If you enroll in the 12-week list-building holiday promotion e-lessons and end up deciding to, in addition, take my sponsorship course that's going to be offered in the early fall, I'm going to deduct the full amount of the list-building holiday e-course from the cost of the sponsorship class.
Wow.
So that means you're going to save an additional, I'm not good with math, 30 to 90, 100-something dollars.
A little under off, 120, yeah.
Thank you. Off the sponsorship class when I offer it in the fall, but you have to take this class to get that discount. So you need this exclusive link because this is how we're going to be tracking it, so I know that you bought through hearing me on this call. To get it at $37 per month for 3-month price and all the bonuses, you need to go to www.listbuildingpromotionsecrets.com/Adela. And that's special because that's going to tell me you came from this telesummit.
Yeah, and I've already signed up for it.
Yeah, I just thought, there she is. She's signed up.
I'm not missing out on that. Just the
Excellent.
List alone of all the media contacts is extraordinary. That's really a rich. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Well, I'm really thrilled. If you're going to do a sponsorship, you have to do it right. And I know this works because I'm getting sponsorships for my holiday. And if I can get it, anybody can do it because I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to show you how step by step. So
yeah.
There you go. So it's listbuildingpromotionsecrets.com/Adela.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's going to be great. yeah, because there's lots of ins. Because of course I've got more questions. Because even with which we don't have time to. So this is I'll be saving them for the coaching calls. Like one that comes off the top of my head is like, how can you be persistent without being annoying? So I'll bring that to the coaching call because I think there's kind of a little fine line there, and I'm sure
well,
that there's
we have some. You know, one of the strategies I share with people, and I'll share it really briefly, is how to ask the question without actually asking the question. and there are some strategies. It's an old PR spinning thing of, you know, when you call a reporter, you don't ask them if they got the press release. You ask them other questions.
So we'll
have some strategies on how to get these questions.
Awesome. And we do have one last question from
sure.
Jan. What are some examples of real value that we can offer our sponsors?
Well, obviously, it depends on what your event is and what you're doing. So I'm going to have to be very generic in these. Some of the things I offer, is one of the, you know, knowing who the other sponsors are going to be or who you're reaching out to is actually a value because some of them they're actually want to partner with.
Mm-hmm.
Another real value you give them is you have to explain to them how many people you'll be touching. How many people you're reaching out to with the marketing of whatever you're doing. Because that's important, because that's how, and who that target market is. Because, again, if, you know, I told Baby Gap I want $10,000 just because they, you know, I buy stuff from them and I have a relationship with them, that doesn't, you know, and I say, well, I'm doing business people. They need to know I'm reaching out to 5 million business people. That doesn't mean that they're going to be interested in that. So make sure that, you know, one of the things is they want to know who you're touching and how many people you're reaching out to. They want to know if you have media contacts. They want to know but the best thing you can do is something I've already told you. Ask.
Ask them, yeah.
Because every person is different. What makes, you know, a lot of my sponsors happy is getting recognized by the governor of New York State. Some others want the media coverage and the Associated Press. It really depends on, you know, what motivates them, and everybody has a different motive.
Yeah. And this is also when you were talking about, you know, how
chocolate
people...
motivates me, everybody. So, you know, add chocolate for me and I'll be happy.
Yeah, well, chocolate motivates a lot of us, Shannon. it's a primary food group, in my opinion.
There you go.
Yeah. And when you talked about how many people you reach, this is where it's important to have, you know, a list and build your list with some of the tools that folks will get from signing up for your new program. So
that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Shannon, thank you. This was a chock-filled hour. There was so much stuff. I actually took notes because I really want to write up some of these things into blog posts, and because there's so much content in this call that it was really extraordinary. Thank you so much for being with us here at the Conscious Business Telesummit. And thank you, everyone, for being with us today, and we will see you tomorrow. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All righty, you too. Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.